Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I'm here with my running mate, Michael Brazemley. Say hello.
Hey, how is everybody?
Oh, I know how everybody is, because we are the same way, because like every other postal podcast, we got to talk about this tentative agreement. So, first is, if you want all the lowdown on the tentative agreement, you want a very thorough breakdown, I recommend the On the Workroom Floor, where they went through every single piece of the tentative agreement and talked about that. By the way, features former guest on Classes of Mail, Greg Donaldson, who is the best. And there is, of course, another podcast called, what's the other big podcast called, Michael?
From A to Arbitration.
Ah, that's the one I was trying to think of. Yes, of course. And, dude, I am anxiously awaiting hearing what is said on that podcast. So I don't think we're going to cover a lot of ground that wasn't covered by former Classes of Mail guests, Greg Donaldson and Corey Walton. But we got to talk about it anyway. Let's get the big one out of the way. Michael, how are you planning on voting on this tentative agreement?
Big no.
Yeah, and I still am undecided. I can't decide whether I'm going to vote no or fuck no. It's going to be one of those, but I'm not sure which.
Mine's big no.
A big no. All right, yeah, that's a good one. If that's on there, I might consider voting that as well. Yeah, so obviously we're disappointed. Disappointed doesn't even really cover it with this tentative agreement. I heard Angry Mailman put it like this, that it's like the day before was like Christmas Eve, and we were excited about, oh, what's it going to be? What are we going to get? And then it was like the Grinch came, and he didn't just steal the presents. He took a shit under the Christmas tree, and that's pretty much what it feels like. So, Michael, let's get into some of the details, some of the things that we want to address from this tentative agreement.
Well, just to give a quick lapse of what, quick input of what my carriers thought of.
My carriers
at my station, which holds about 120 carriers, and we talked about it, and they all absolutely hate this contract.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's without my input.
Okay.
Which means majority of the whole nation carriers are not happy.
Right.
Okay. If
right.
My carriers I gave them no advice about anything, and they hate it.
Right.
Means everybody else hates it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this tentative agreement. It says that the agreement is for 42 months, starting from May till November of 2026.
Right. Okay.
I thought that's kind of strange. Didn't the contract end in March?
I swear
everybody said it ended in March.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I don't remember.
If it ended in March, then we're missing 2 months.
Yeah, maybe it was May. I really don't know. Okay. I don't remember back
then. I swear somebody said it was
March.
But
if it's supposed to end in October, then that would put it, or end in November, that would put it up to the next election for the union, which is great because I don't want Renfro, you know, doing the next agreement as well. Hopefully he's gone before then, and that's something that we need to talk about. So look, there's plenty of talk about the details of this contract and what's wrong with it. There are some things that I like. I like the idea of the new hire retention. Go ahead.
Before we continue,
yeah.
The reason I was mentioning about the 42 months.
Okay.
Okay. Is that he put on this, the first thing on the tentative agreement that we're getting.
Oh, you're actually looking at it.
1.3% paid retroactively, okay?
Yep.
But here's what the thing is that that's 3 years at 1.3%. That's 3.9%, right?
Yeah.
But in 42 months.
Well, it's a little bit more than that because it compounds. But, yeah.
But in 42 months, it comes to almost 1.1% per year.
Because there's no final increase at the end.
Yeah, right. So it's crap.
Dude. And it's funny.
It's
that,
crap.
Yeah, it's funny that that's that the math is done that way. Because on the You Are the Current Resident podcast, he talked about an example of who would get the this nice raise. And he used the example of somebody who converted to a career and skipped those first couple steps so that they get that raise. And then he added in their additional step increases that they get before the end of the contract. And he's like, oh, so that's like 20% raise. Dude,
so
that is a total edge case.
I just want to give people a little example of Las Vegas. Okay.
All right.
I was hired in 2012. As a PSC, as a clerk, okay? My apartment for one-bedroom apartment was $500 a month.
Okay.
That was one bedroom, okay? Mm-hmm. Now I'm currently paying on a one-bedroom, where I was at, was $1,600 a month.
Oh!
Okay?
Dude.
That's four almost four times more than what I was paying since 2012.
Right.
Okay. That, of course, then I was PSE and not a regular, so obviously there's that difference too.
Yeah.
Okay. But to me, our inflation jumped up four times of
what it is
because we're in Las Vegas.
It doesn't feel like, I'm missing something apparently in this consumer price index, because if we're only getting like 5% and then 3% for the consumer price index, like, how are they calculating what inflation is? That doesn't seem like nearly enough. And it's certainly nowhere near what other unions have been able to achieve. Not even close. And so, yeah, this contract is obviously an absolute embarrassment.
Money-wise, it's the worst that it could happen because of the inflation that we've gotten.
Right.
And, I mean, just from COVID, 2020 to now, we had inflation that was like 5%. We had an inflation that was 7%. Oh, and then by 2023, where inflation went down to 5% or 4%, whatever it was. But if you add all that up together, it's more than 25%. Sorry, are we getting like 3.9 total? That seems like total crap.
Well, that's wage increases on top of the COLAs.
I know.
But the COLAs are also... Dude, you can tell how big the COLAs are because the retroactive pay that we're getting, the back pay, is going to be like $1,200 or something. And so, oh, great, $100 a month. Like, that's what we've been missing out on. And what the fuck took this long if that's the contract that we're getting? Like, dude, that's a contract that you hammer out. Oh, we'll just keep the status quo. No problem. Like, what the fuck was the holdup if that's the contract that we wound up with? And, dude, there's always been this conspiracy, which I subscribe to, that the real reason they don't want open bargaining is because you don't want to know how we're getting fucked at these negotiations. And so Renfro comes to our rap session here in Las Vegas. You went to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he stands up there and he puts his hands real far apart and he goes, you know, the negotiation, like the post office starts way over here and we start way over there. And we've been going back and forth, but they keep coming closer and closer and closer to us. And by the time he's at the end, like his hands are real close together. And you can go back to my rap session episode and I reiterate it there too. And he says, they keep coming to where we are. And so we're real happy with where we're going. Dude, he's just fucking lying. Because I asked him at that rap session, I got it recorded, that... And you can also hear that recording on that episode that, okay, so what's the number? You know, you've already told Tolino what number you're looking for. Tell us what it is. And he wouldn't say, oh, he goes, oh, I've been real clear about it. You bullshit. But he says it's the number that's on table one. And that number was $30 an hour. You mean to tell me that fucking a year after that, we landed on $21 an hour? Give me a fucking break. Absolutely not. What in the world took this long to negotiate?
Well, I have a thought of that. Okay?
All right.
Which I think I've told possibly you or possibly some others.
I know you told me.
And so back in the day, you know, we were filing charges against Brian Renfro in the National Convention because, you know, he was too drunk or whatever it was.
Yep.
And the rumor was that he was so drunk that he didn't show up to the meeting.
I believe that's established fact.
Our contract negotiation. And so DeJoy ended up sitting in that office or whatever, waiting for him, not knowing where he was. Okay. Well, you know, DeJoy, he was a CEO of a company too, right?
Yeah.
So he's a big boss. He's always thought of as a big boss. I'm sure that's what he thinks, that he's better than anybody.
Sure.
Okay? When somebody comes to a meeting and never shows up because and then finds out that he was a drunk,
right?
What do you think that CEO is going to think of that guy?
Oh, total disrespect.
Right, a total disrespect. He's not going to give a shit about that guy.
Yeah.
Okay? So when it comes to contract negotiations, he's going to say, fuck you. I'm not going to work with you. You're an idiot. Okay? Because you missed my meeting. Because I'm the big boss.
And it turns out he was right.
Mm-hmm.
Even these things that we got that look like concessions. No, dude. Like for example, that you can sell back if you're over the hours cap for your annual leave. That you can sell back to get yourself. Well, you can sell back 40 hours to get yourself down to 520. So that's a very limited case. But what's the caveat on that?
Yeah. Well.
I know what off the top of my head. I know you didn't know that question was coming.
Yeah.
That you have to have used 75 hours or less of sick leave in the previous year.
Yeah.
So this is just another prod to get management, for management to get us to not use this benefit that we've earned of sick leave.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is that the tentative agreement, if you actually read it from which is 17 pages of changes, I guess, okay? And right, if you read
the release that's on
majority there. Of what's in there, including the one that you're favoring about the CCAs, is it in reality all in favor of management and not us?
Okay, so how does the CCA retention program?
Oh, let me tell you.
Retention favor.
Go maybe ahead. Because all supervisors have been firing CCAs like they're nothing for so long, and nobody wants to work for the post office anymore.
Yep.
And this is a trying to find a way to help the post office to hold the CCAs here.
Yeah.
But because the problem was it was management who's the one who caused it,
dude.
Maybe they should get rid of. Yep. Matt saying that we cannot file grievances for CCAs in the first 120 days.
Where the fuck is that? Oh, my God. So somebody posted today an article from the Postal Record that was from the beginning of negotiations talking about, you know, what our priorities are. And it was significantly increased pay. Well, that sure as fuck didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the CCAs. That sure as fuck didn't happen. And then basic work rule shit like, dude, exactly to your point, like that we can't file – I mean, dude, we can file grievances for CCAs. The only one we can't file is if the most important one, which is if they get fired during their probationary period. And yeah, that stayed too. The CCAs stayed. They're still 2 years. They still get shit pay. And it's only going to get worse because, dude, how the fuck does an extra 1% raise make up for what we've lost to inflation? The CCAs are getting an even worse deal. How in the fuck are we supposed to hire people?
During COVID, what were we called?
Essential workers.
Oh, we were essential. Then obviously the post office, we're not that essential, are we?
Apparently not.
And I don't know if you remember back in the day, our government agreed to pay the post office hazardous pay.
I don't.
Did you get that?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, I remember. I know exactly who got that. It was the upper management who actually never showed up to the post office.
Get the fuck out of here.
They were sitting at their own fucking house and had a Zoom meeting telling us what to do while we're working out on the street and some of the carriers are getting COVID and dying and we didn't get paid for the hazardous pay.
Dude.
While they did.
Yeah.
Sitting at home.
And we went into these negotiations with Renfro telling us, oh, we're in such a strong position because we've been these essential workers because we got all these financial things working in our favor, and because look at what all these other unions are getting, and oh, they're going to be afraid to go to arbitration with us. No, Renfro was the one who was afraid to go to arbitration. So we're going to vote no. This will be the first contract that I think the first ever that's been voted no. And then, so what? Now Renfro takes us to arbitration? Fucking great. Dude, where is that going to get us? Dude, So let's talk about this going forward. I've already had people from concern letter carriers, but also from Build a Fighting NALC get in touch with me, talking to people about the possibility of using the NALC Constitution. In fact, I want to talk about this right now. All right, this is from the NALC Constitution. This is Article 19. The title of Article 19 is Referendum and Amendments to the Constitution. So it talks about how to amend the Constitution, but it also talks about, in Section 5, how to hold a referendum. All right, and a referendum, just for reference, is it's essentially allows the membership the same power that we have at the convention, that it makes us the assembled body, and it allows us to enact change from the grassroots. All right, so here we go. Section 5, A. Propositions submitted for a referendum vote of the membership may be initiated by any branch in good standing or by the NALC Executive Council. And Branch 2502 fixing to be one of those branches. Provided that the proposal receives endorsement of at least 10% of the branches having an aggregate membership of at least 15% of the members of the NALC as shown by records of the National Secretary Treasurer on January 1st of the current year. So, we need at least 10% of the branches and at least 15% of the members. So that would cover like some big branches like our branch, branch 1100, branch, a number of the really big branches. All right. And said branches not to be located or said branches to be located in not less than 15 states. This is achievable. This is all right. So the endorsement of any proposal shall be by vote of the branches signed by the branch president and secretary at least 6 months prior to a biennial meeting of the National Association. So good news. We are at least 6 months out. So this referendum process is open to us. B, Such petition shall, after being filed and verified, be printed in the current issue of the postal record. No more than 4 pages in each, and it goes blah, 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 and it goes on into what the referendum process is. This is the way for us. Like, I remember reading this when I was reading the Constitution on my podcast, and they're like, oh, well, that's interesting. It's hard for me to imagine anything like firing up the membership to such a degree that they would go through this referendum process. Well, here we are. And now suddenly it's a lot easier to imagine what that might be. So I'm going to be talking to folks from Build Fighting NALC. And you know they're already about this sort of process. I'm going to talk to CLC, probably talk to the CARIF people, you know, and it might be time for a referendum. We'll see what happens with Mike Cariff's charges, which are already in process. But I think it's time to start looking at what a referendum would look like to get this motherfucker out or to make sure that he is no longer responsible for our negotiations.
Dude.
But here's the thing.
Yep.
If I remember correctly, Paul Barner is also part of this thing, too.
We don't really know. Right? That's part of the issue. I know he's over. Well, when the CLC, who are insiders, you know, between James Henry and Chris Jackson, their proposal was to have Barner take over the negotiations. So I'd like to think they know something we don't, and he would be better than fucking anybody would be better than Brian Renfro at this point to handle these negotiations. So that's the move. Dude, fuck it. If we're going to do referendums from the ground up, put Mike Cariff and James Henry in charge of the negotiations going forward. That's something that's going to have to be worked out. But we have this process open to us. We don't have to just sit on our hands and vote no. We can take it further than that. Dude, I got something funny. Go ahead.
So this is where I say this is why our union is good, okay? Because we have the power to vote and the power to do all this, okay? Mm-hmm. And all those carriers out there that hears me, that says, you know what? Our union sucks. Our branch sucks. Our national sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drop out of the union, okay? Because I hear at least 20 of my carriers at my station, they want to drop out because of the branch and because of the national.
Got brought up at my station, too.
And they all want to drop out. Well, guess what? Without the people that actually hates what's going on and your votes, we won't be able to change anything.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
Because then the same people that's doing the things that they're doing that you don't like is going to stay.
Yeah, then you'll have no voice.
And then you'll have no voice because you can't vote, okay? The whole matter is that, yeah, I mean, you might save $30, $40, whatever it is, I don't know, union dues and every paycheck. So what, okay? All you're trying to do is you have a union that we have a voice for because without a union, you're not going to get a raise. Without a union, I know some of you carriers out there would have been fired long time ago.
Oh, dude, ain't that the truth.
And so it is the union that's holding your job. It is the union that does all this for you guys. So all those carriers that are thinking about dropping out of the union, please think twice before you do that because we need to change what's going on. And here's the thing. I hear about this all the time. Well, what's a union without a strike? Well, without a contract, I guess that strike clause is no good, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. Another thing that I was trying to talk to another carrier about, possibly Alan, I don't remember, is that we have lots of money in our branch, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And if we ever decide to go on a strike, we'll have all that money to cover the people who's going to be out of money.
Potentially.
On the strike, okay? Now, I'm not condoning the strike.
No.
Okay? I'm not condoning the strike.
Yeah, we're make not calling clear. For a job action. Okay?
Because here's the thing is we're not striking because the problem is our officers.
Right. Yeah, and if you're angry, if you are pissed off about what's going on in the union, we need your voice. You are the ones we need to stay in the union to make this change and to make this grassroots effort from the ground up. It starts with voting for us for your local branch officers, but from the bottom up, it's got to change. It's got to change.
Yes, our carriers, who wants to drop out, please again, think again.
Yeah.
Because we still need you. We need your voice.
Yep.
We need you to file complaints. If anybody that's in Las Vegas, if they're angry about something, what's going on, come and see me.
Yeah.
Come and talk to Alan.
Yep.
If you don't, or if you don't like me, go and talk to Alan or Jonathan. Okay. Because sometimes talking about it, it will help you out, help out a lot better. Okay. But I'm sure we probably got, I said 99.9% of the people agree this tentative agreement sucks balls.
Yeah, that it does. All right. So I got a funny before we get out of here from my buddy Trevor, who I've been friends with him forever. He's also a steward. And we were talking about this shitty tentative agreement. And he goes, you know, it was like 6 months ago, like back in April, that Renfro was saying, I've got an agreement in hand right now that I think you guys would love and that you would vote for, but I'm going to keep pushing, get you the best possible agreement I can. And he goes, you think we can go back and get that one from April? Because we sure don't like this one.
What if it's the same one?
It probably is, you know, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had a buddy, best friends with him back in high school and junior high, who became an addict, and he became a lying addict, which by Renfro's own defense is what he was. And when those lies started to come around, the big thing was just to keep the lie going as long as you could and hope that somehow it would work out at the end. And it seems like that's what Renfro was doing. You know, I don't know. This is only speculation. But he couldn't have thought that this is what we wanted in a tentative agreement. And so every time he stood up there and said, oh, it's going to be great, he was lying. Every time.
I believe he was delaying on purpose.
I agree.
Because he knew that everybody's going to get angry.
Yep.
He's releasing it around this time of the year because everybody's busy working on the political
election mail. Oh, dude.
And so they're doing it at a time when, you know, everybody's busy.
Right.
So they can't. So I think he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he was going to delay it longer, but I think he kind of overheard that some charges were coming.
I think that the charges from Cariff and the national demonstrations, which we had in our branch, I think that that's what pushed him to finally, that he had to release it. I think that's right. And the more we hear about this, dude, again, I cannot wait to hear Corey's podcast, because I got to imagine that Cariff is going to be a guest. And oh, shit.
Well, as I told you in a conversation before the podcast, I said the tentative agreement came out on Saturday.
Right.
Does that mean they put this together weeks before to put it together?
Right, because it came out all polished and professional looking and all printed out and ready to go.
With Brian Renfro's face on top.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's put together in 10 minutes. I don't know. I don't know enough about graphic design.
But I don't think Brian knows how to do that either, personally.
Dude. Yeah. Okay. How does it take more than 600 days of negotiation to get this
crap?
Yeah, dude.
Again, I recommend people to look at the tentative agreement.
Yeah, look at it
for
yourself.
My personal opinion, every single item on that tentative agreement is in favor of management and not us.
Dude.
It is terrible. Okay?
What a mess.
Including our Rowdy Bell. They're cutting times
out. Oh, the Rowdy valuations. Yeah,
they're cutting times out.
Yep.
So if they're cutting out, I think it was about 10 minutes. If they're cutting out 10 minutes, what happens?
Right. It adds up, and eventually it adds up to
they're about to do six-day counts at all over the nation next year.
Right, right.
So with that 10 minutes, what are they going to do?
They're going to eliminate routes, of course.
Because they're going to take 10 minutes to every single route, and they're going to eliminate one or two routes per station, and then get rid of one or two carriers per station. And how many carriers can they get rid of in the nation?
Too damn many.
Too many.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you one more thing.
Go ahead.
I was a steward back in 2013 as an alternate steward.
All right.
And I got the seniority list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know how many carriers was there with the CCAs?
Tell me.
It was almost 1,300 carriers.
Okay.
Do you know how many carriers we got now?
I don't.
Less than 1,000.
Dude.
How in Las Vegas, with all these homes being built, when it gets growing so big, did we lose 300 carriers?
It's a great question.
Okay. Something is wrong with our Las Vegas' union for them to allow 300 carriers to lose their jobs.
And now it's the same problems nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it's time for a change. Stay tuned for updates on what our national action plan is going to be. And please stay in the union and make your voice a voice for change. All right, that's all I got. You can expect to hear more episodes coming out because we recorded a bunch of episodes today, which is great. And thank you, Michael, for coming. And I will catch you guys next time.
See you guys next time.